Hey friends, on my next episode, I had an opportunity to sit with Josh Cassidy. Josh is a three-time Paralympian athlete from Canada. And while we talk about his experience traveling the world and his success as an athlete, he's also an artist, a motivational speaker, and a dad. We talk deeply around the spiritual connectedness and what that feels like when we are living a life and breaking down barriers of resilience and also the triumphs that come with being an Olympian athlete. I hope this interview inspires you. Welcome, Josh Cassidy.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel so just, blessed to be able to be on here with you. And I've known about Lucy Smiles for a long time. And I'm just excited for you seeing you launch this. And it's an honor to be on one of your first podcasts.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful as well, too. I'm excited to... My intention, you know, as we've had some conversations, is my intention for our conversation is just like back in the day when we'd have conversations privately and I would get off the phone chatting with you and I'm like, wow, like I wish that everyone could be impacted by the way I'm impacted by having a conversation. And you and I've chatted before the, you know, putting this on air, if you will, and just around who are we hanging out with and, you know, what are the influences in our life? I'm going to, of course, share your amazing bio. I'll get all professional here for a minute and share your amazing bio, but I really want people to walk away from this conversation, being able to move forward in their life in a way that maybe they were halted. So maybe there's something, there's always, you know, something that we're all personally thinking about that we may not be moving forward. Maybe we're afraid, maybe we have limiting beliefs, not allowing us to feel that we're worthy. And so I'm just really excited, Josh, to have conversations through just speaking up from our hearts, unfiltered, and just giving an opportunity for others out there to see I can do it. And I mean, your story is epic, and you as a human, you're epic. But I will share, so for any of you who are new to learning about Josh Cassidy is a three-time Paralympian, 31-time Canadian champion, winner of the 2012 Boston Marathon with the world's fastest time, winner of the London Marathon, Chicago Marathon, LA Marathon, Sydney Marathon. I mean, you, and this is not even from the last 5 years, I don't think. And so truly overall, you're an athlete, you're a public speaker, you're an artist, and you are also over the last under three short years, a new dad. So I will put my phone away and we're going to get into the nitty gritty. But first, Josh, I want to say thank you. You're such a dear friend. We've known each other, I think now for just over 6 years, 7 years. And you are, I'd have to say, one of those people in my tribe that, you know, there's just no conversation is off the table, which is kind of like a way to ground this conversation now. So I just want to say thank you. I'm so honored to be chatting with you. I mean, we could have done a whole podcast with the last 90 minutes that we spent offline, but we're just going to go with it. So tell me, I think, you know, let's just start with, is there anything else that you want to share around your professional life in racing and being in the Olympics? And, you know, maybe give the audience and our listeners and our you know, those that are watching an overview of like, how did that happen? So where did it all start? Just to kind of like start the conversation going, because it's pretty accredited.
Well, thank you.
You are the professional.
Thank you. Okay. I'll dive into that. First, I just want to say, like, I love being able to just step into soul and just be and share. And you always hold such space for people to be their authentic self. And so I'm looking forward as well to just, diving into what it is that I've learned in my journey that's helped me really tap into purpose and authenticity. And yeah, so the Cole's Notes background for me is I was born with cancer in my spine. I left my legs partially paralyzed. So I learned that about overcoming challenges at a very early age, and those physical challenges, those lessons that I learned, that approach, that mindset, being able to adapt, I transferred over to the other areas of life, and it truly was just, you know, motivated by life and this journey and this spiritual journey and path of tapping into our unlimited potential and all that we can do and what we can achieve and what we can offer the world or give to others and experience. And one of the things that I fell in love with early was sport. And it's, besides the fun of it, it's this journey of being your best in body and in mind. But of course, also in soul. I believe this is predominantly, it's first and foremost a spiritual journey. But I fell in love with sport, got into it when I was in high school, racing that is. And it's taken me all over the world. It's taught me a lot about myself. I value health and physical health. You know, it's also a big part of what I enjoy about sport and the learnings from a very early age. I think maybe being in a hospital so much of the early years of my life, and this appreciation for this temple that we have. And journey started. I was born with cancer in my spine. It left my legs partially paralyzed, so I mostly use a wheelchair to get around. It was a very challenging start life, but it was a huge blessing. I'm so grateful for it because it taught me at an early age how to overcome physical obstacles and challenges, and through that journey, applying those lessons of adapting to other areas of life. And one of the things I loved from a very early age was sport, and I fell in love with wheelchair racing in high school. And I always just loved this journey of being your best self. It was always just something within me of you know, what is possible, anything is possible, and how do I get there? And I think that's what makes this human experience fun is these challenges that are always going to be there, and embracing them because they mm-hmm. are catalysts for learning and growth, mm-hmm. and showing us to see what we are capable of. Mm-hmm. So fell in love with sport, and it's, you know, allowed me to travel all over the world. It's taught me so much about myself. I love the journey of health as well, because this, you know, body is our temple, and mm-hmm. spending so much time in the hospital in my early years of my life gave me a huge appreciation for the physical body and how we treat it and what we put into it. It also gave me a huge appreciation, you know, spending time so much time in the hospital mm-hmm. for everything that is out there in life that we can do. I'm also super passionate about creating. I also was into drawing and art from a very early age. And so that's another equal passion of mine. And ultimately it all just, it all comes down to this spiritual journey. That's the Cole's Notes. There's a lot of me out there. There's stuff on my website about my backstory, the things that I've gone through. I'm sure we'll dive into a couple stories as well. But you know, what I love just in our chats and talking with you and what this podcast is being able to just step into soul and you know, just sharing about the spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately we're just spiritual beings having a 3D experience, physical experience. And that's what excites me more than anything, and as what I'm the most passionate about.
I love it. It's funny too, because we were chatting earlier too, talking about just this soul school. It's like earth school. We don't graduate. Mm-hmm. And then having said that too, is I would say, like, for me in my own journey, is the less I, and it sounds cliche, but it's the truth, is like the less that I look at the outcome, the more fun I have in the being of it. Right. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I have a quote that I had written that says, you know, the reward comes not from the accomplishment, but from the journey to it. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, mm-hmm. even, you know, launching this podcast, I could see the difference between my energy whenever I'm like expecting so much of myself versus, oh, this was fun putting this together. And oh my God, look what I just learned and what I had to learn, you know? And I wanted to, maybe if you want to talk about that, but, and then the other thing I do want to share is how we met. So we met, in personal development, we met. So obviously the alignment was there because we met while we were growing ourselves and we're like, hey, I'm me. And so we met through investing in ourselves to move forward better and brighter and to do those, you know, the part of the work that's really exciting. And so I would love to ask you again, because as an athlete, you know, going to the Olympics, that's a huge dream. Like that's a very exceptional, you know, very unique dream for many people. And so what was it that allowed you to say, I can do that? Because I know that one of the things for myself is influence. Like, who are you hanging around with? What are the conversations that you're having? Again, going back to me having this podcast, is like when I would talk to you on the phone privately saying like, wow, like that was such an impactful conversation. So my mm-hmm. dream with this new platform in my Lucy mm-hmm. Smiles brand is, how can I be a conduit, and what's the platform I get to use to share those private conversations that I've been having for a couple of decades as I decided to grow myself? And mm-hmm. so is there anybody specific that, you know, came into your life, or are there any mentors or, you know, places or tools or resources that ground you to mm-hmm. keep you in that belief that you can achieve it? And not just from being an athlete, but even being an artist or being a dad or even being, you know, a great friend. What are the things that you use, you know, and we can get real spiritual, because that's, you know, mm-hmm. it'd be really worth it for people to know that success really does come with the amount that we personally develop ourselves or spiritually develop ourselves or whatever that faith is that grounds a person. So maybe touch on that. I'm curious to know, what sure. does that look like for you, you know, to support you on your path?
My goodness. Yeah. That lights so much within me. I think to start, we all have, you know, certain gifts, certain energy, certain traits. And I think for me, something that I think was just always there and has been a part of who I am is this belief that anything is possible. And if it's something that you're passionate about, that's what's going to motivate you the most. That's what's going to drive you to have quote unquote success. In my journey early on, I realized some key characteristics. And when I do my speaking or workshops or coaching, like this formula I share that I discovered, and it was this commonality in achieving these things in life, in this, you know, anything is possible, and it's passion. You have to be passionate about that thing, dedication, putting in effort, and then time. It takes some time, and it takes patience and persistence. Mm-hmm. And underlying all of that is belief. That's just such a huge component. And if something wasn't happening for me, I would go back to this and look back and see, is something missing in one of these areas. But at the same time, you know, sometimes you can actually check all of those boxes, and maybe that destination that you want, you know, you haven't reached it yet. And I think that's where the letting go lesson has been huge for me, and, you know, controlling what you can and letting go of what you can't. And more and more in life, it's been embodying this letting go lesson for me. Mm-hmm. And just coming back to alignment, and, you know, you're talking about your podcast and with anyone and whatever that they're pursuing, is really understanding when resistance comes up, where it's coming from, Is it a place? Is it a place of fear or ego, or is it from a place that's out of alignment? And being able to differentiate. If it's a place out of fear and ego, then there's something that you need to take care of. If it's just that you're, you know, out of alignment, then, I mean, and they kind of go hand in hand. It really ultimately comes back down to, being in resonance with what you're passionate about, what gives you energy instead of takes it away, and being your authentic self.
Wow. Interesting that you say that, because we did talk earlier and I want to bring this up. Alignment, right? And so we're in this. So I'll give an example. So I've been writing under Lucy Smiles for 18 years. It'll be 18 years, May 12th. And, you know, I got channeled on a bridge. It was that defining moment. It was, if you're into astrology, which we could touch on, it was my Saturn return when I was 29. And I heard about it through my astrologer. And she says, oh, you're going to be going through X, Y, and Z. I'm like, oh, okay. And was I ever? And did I ever shed certain relationships, certain habits? And then in shedding that, Lucy Smiles got channeled on a bridge in Vancouver. And that was my, and I'm telling this story really briefly, because that was what I would look at now as I'm learning, is like my North Star. And so my North Star is not going to be anybody else's North Star. And so I want to touch on from a component of, you know, comparing ourselves, is that since being a writer, you know, 18 years ago, I was like, probably like, you know, blogging was not a thing. I was like, I had to go searching. Well, how do you write? Where do you put it? You know, blogspot.com. And then now 18 years later, I know a lot of my potential self, like negative self-talk, comes from, am I doing it right? There's so many other people doing it. And then even to the point of, you know, filters on Instagram and like, look what they're doing. I have to do it that way. And those are things where I think if I hear you correctly about being out of alignment and looking at why, is that, you know, comparison is the thief of joy, but also comparing ourselves to what we're not. And so we touched on this before we went live. We had this awesome conversation, which we'll, you know, share a little bit, minus a couple of private things. maybe we'll put those in the bloopers. No,
sure.
But the thing too is that I had read the other, like on a social media meme, you know, imposter syndrome is when you're running a race that you don't even want to run. And so I would love to talk about that. And ironically, because you know, you're an athlete and you race, so there's the irony. But the thing with that is if I notice when I'm feeling heavy around my creating and my brand, and I'd like to ask you that too, with the work that you do with coaching, with being an athlete, with when do you public speak? When do you not want to? When do you want to spend your afternoon in art, not in coaching? Is that, you know, a lot of times I will notice, if I am honest with myself, that when I am feeling heavy around creation, it's because it's not me creating. It's me trying to create outside of myself. It's not my creation. And then when I say, you know, even my coach, who supported me for the last 4 months to create this podcast itself, I said, you know, is this the right way to do this? She's like, there are no podcast police out there. And I'm like, oh my God, of course. Like, why am I feeling like this is not the same as it should be? And then, and so it can get quite loud. And so I'd love, you know, to kind of talk about that from a spiritual soul essence. Is that what you're trying to say when you're not in alignment? Is like, what is alignment for us may not be what the other people in our industry are doing. And maybe even touching on your coaching practice. I would love to talk about, you said something brilliant, you know, behind the scenes earlier around, you know, doing it the way that we are meant to do it and not the way that we think we're supposed to do it. Like, what is success? And so I'd love to marry all that together and maybe start a conversation around, you know, the soul's calling, not just social media calling, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think that this whole journey, you know, talking about, you know, alignment and resonance with soul, we're in this physical experience, and we get put into life, and our parents and our friends and our peers and whoever else puts these things on us, basically, that form these different beliefs or perceptions of what we have to do or who we have to be. And ultimately it's to please, to seek some sort of validation. And then we have to go through this process of shedding. I mean, it's why we're here, to learn something from this experience, but ultimately to realign back with our authentic selves, our soul, our true, you know, essence, our purpose, our calling, all of this. And yeah, it gets heavy and it doesn't feel as right when it feels like it's for someone else or something else, or if we're doing the right thing, or what others are going to think. And, you know, you mentioned about the podcast and wondering about doing it a certain way, or how many times you're going to post and this, and I've felt the same way at times, both either with, you know, social media or branding or launching the coaching or racing or whatever it is. And I guess knowing when that energy is taking away, and you're talking about, you know, how it's supposed to look and this imposter syndrome. So I believe that the things that you might feel like you're being an imposter for, mm-hmm. is actually a part of your authentic self. There's something within you that is real, but you're just not used to showing it to the world. So if you start with switching that belief, that it's not that you're not being something that you're not, mm-hmm. you're being something that you are, and you're afraid of judgment of that, then you can get rid of the imposter part. If you truly feel like you're doing something that isn't you, then good. That is a good soul self-check. But a lot of the times the term imposter syndrome comes up is when somebody is chasing a dream or a goal or something they want to do or be, and there's resistance towards it. And it's because we are so conditioned to care about what other people think, and there's a certain way to do things, and you know, following a certain program or order, and ultimately there is no right way to do things besides what feels right for you. And it doesn't mean we can't learn from others and their experiences and how they do it. Of course we do. That's why we're on this planet, with others, to learn from each other. But it's taking all of these things and being able to understand and step into your own power and authenticity of what does that look like for you? How many times posting is right for you? What feels in alignment with you? And that's been a huge thing for, myself to learn and pay attention to, is the moments where I'm feeling resistance, when something is taking forever to do, or I'm not wanting to do it, or whatever. Am I doing it because I feel like I have to? And sure, there are some uncomfortable things that we just maybe don't want to do, that we have to actually just do and figure out some kind of motivation and trick ourselves into being able to do it. But you know, the big picture wise, if there's some resistance, going to the path of least resistance, where there's passion, where energy goes, energy flows. I think that's a saying someone said, but
Well, it's also, you said the path of least resistance. I use that all the time. I love Abraham Hicks, the teachings of Abraham, source energy. And, you know, Esther and Jerry Hicks, I followed for a few decades now, and Esther on her own now. And one of the things that she mentions in her channeling is sifting and sorting. And you have to know what you don't want before you can know what you do want. And I think, and I feel that a lot of the times it's almost like we're afraid to look at what we don't want. We think that we should just know what we want, right? And so I believe that in my own journey, and we've chatted about this, you know, briefly, is that when we could just be okay with our own selves, and we can take the time to find the right tools for us, which are going to be different. Some people want to do Kundalini yoga. Some people want to meditate. Other people, it's surfing, right? But like finding ways that are going to allow us to tap into our own soul's information so that we have that confidence, or that just more ability to have more trust that what we're doing is the best for us in the way that we're doing it. Even going back to social media, you and I touched on this earlier. You know, there's like, okay, do you need your social media calendar, which is significantly impactful if you're building a brand and you want to have consistency, but someone's consistency is going to be different than somebody else's. So we touched on human design, which I'm just super in love with learning about human design, because it just makes so much sense. Never knew about it, just tapped into it since like September. And when I realized that my human design, and if anyone's interested, I actually have someone who I'm going to be interviewing that I was coached on around human design. It was so beautiful. But knowing that my personal human design is manifestor, which is about, I think, 8% of the population, and I'm a role model hermit are my two numbers. Now I realize why I behave in certain ways that may not be the same thing as a manifesting generator or as a generator who can generate. I'm such a visionary, and I can be a role model, which I've tended to. Now I see, okay, that's why I hold space for people. That's why I can mentor people or channel for people. But I'm also a hermit. And so I can't be regimented in anything. I have to hermit. And then I will replenish my energy in different ways than other people. And so once I felt like I understood myself better, my own DNA, not just, you know, a woman entrepreneur that's multi-passionate, but really like, who am I? What's my North Star? What's my human design? I was able to, you know, lower that self-talk and say, it's okay that I don't go to the yoga class Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Sometimes I have to take Wednesday off, and it may look like laziness to somebody else. Like, oh, she doesn't always come to class. Why does she only sometimes come? And I, my girlfriend Camilla and I talked about that too, because she's a manifesting generator. She is like, what she does in her way of being is so structured, and she's so consistent. And I'm like, wow. But at first I'm like, wow, I wish I could be like that. But no, I'm not that. Right? My whimsical nature and my channeled energy comes when I am not regimented. So I would love to touch on that, and how I know that you're, you know, your human design. We're not going to get super deep, but that's another tool that I found allowed me to just shine brighter who I am, not just who I think other people need Lucy Smiles to show up as. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, this is what I love about the journey. And it's like all these different tools that help us become more self-aware. You know, with athletics, it's very much in the physical, you know, it's the health, it's the food, it's what you're putting in your body, it's the training. But then there's the mindset. It's the mindset of how you're approaching challenges and obstacles, in training, in racing, the confidence, the belief component, and then to get even deeper, all these other tools, Myers-Briggs, figure out what your personality type is. And then you get into the spiritual astrological, not just what your sign is, but you actually get a birth chart reading. And if you ever had that, or if you haven't, I mean, for me, having a specific, detailed, astrological birth chart reading worked out all the nuances in my Scorpio of where I'm not a typical Scorpio helped me. Oh, of course, I'm like this and I'm like that in a certain way. And then, like you said, human design, I'm a manifesting generator. So it's like all of these tools that just help us gain self-awareness that are just, they're super cool, and they help peel back the onion, the layers of I guess what's grown over top of us in our life experience, to get back down to our core essence, our soul, our alignment, understand, like what you said, what is our North Star, what gives us energy, how we respond to things. And like you said, with your, I'm a manifesting generator. So for me, that the realization was, oh, why do I want to do all of these things? And I have a hard time just sticking to one, because there's so many things I want to do that I feel passionate about. And that taught me and gave me the support or reinforcement to just follow where the passion is in a moment, instead of feeling like, oh, I got to check off this whole entire list before I take over this list. And what happens is I just start trudging through the list slower and slower, because I'm not feeling resonance anymore or passionate about. So it's taught me to be more in flow, you know, diving deeper into the divine masculine, divine feminine energies in all of us, and what that balance is. And it doesn't, you know, really pertain necessarily to your physical gender that you are. You know, it's sort of like, if you're not familiar with it, it's sort of like the same idea of right brain, left brain. We obviously need both halves of our brain. And as we tap into one side more than the other, we are able to, just enables us to operate in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I think in general, a balance is great. And that's also with relationships, you know, finding that balance of masculine and feminine energy, regardless of gender. It's just all so interesting. And then beyond that, there's like the whole collective progression, where we're moving at collectively and as a society, and then even within these energies, and how that manifests in the physical reality. You know, you have all the whole gender identification, like how people identify is just, I mean, there's just a whole tapestry of what that looks like now, because mm-hmm. we're trying to get away from being pigeonholed into certain definitions, mm-hmm. and really both, I think, celebrating uniqueness, but also oneness and the similarities, mm-hmm. And the similarities that we all have, and realizing that, you know, we are all one. We're all one. Just, you know, energy, mm-hmm. and in this human experience. And
And you said something earlier as well too that I wanted to touch on, is that we were talking about, you know, we're both quite multifaceted. So if I think about even my career, you know, I started off in corporate Canada. You know, I went from everything from gold mining to real estate marketing to HR consulting to realizing I don't want to do anything with corporate Canada. I want to be an entrepreneur. I felt my calling was more along the lines of giving of my heart entrepreneurially. And then, you know, when you were talking about yourself as well, from being an athlete and being an artist and being a speaker, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, how are we giving of our servant heart? And the titles or the careers or the descriptions of what that look like will change over time. And I think being open to knowing that, and even for my own self as well too, like where I was for the last 9 years, almost 9 years in how I was building business, has now shifted for me to really want to hone in specifically on what do I see Lucy Smiles offering to the world. And so I would love for you to touch on, you know, how you feel around that, is like you're serving of your servant heart. And I'm going to give a little catalyst to this conversation. So I heard a few weeks ago something that was said that said, pay attention to your own address. When we're talking about the collective, the best thing that we can do is pay attention to our own soul. And I think that's really important, because it could be daunting when you look at what's going on in the world. Like, I hear sirens in your background.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, it's duality, but it's that, what do we have an opportunity to do here for our own selves, as our own selves, right? And not worrying about trying to, like, for me, if I think about having to all the dogs in it and cats that I want to rescue, and that can get me feeling heavy, but I'm like, okay, well, what can I do? How can I grow? How can I give of my servant heart? That starts mm-hmm. to allow me to feel light, because that's where I can contribute my energy, paying attention to my own address. So maybe touch on that.
I love that. Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, you know, being the change that you want to see is super important. It's realizing what it is that you need to do and shift and embody, instead of trying to force and change others. And that's been something in my journey as well, is I think being able to do everything that you can do. I'll switch it to me trying to do everything I can to create a certain outcome, or achieve that thing, or do that thing, or have that thing, whatever it is. And it's like, it's controlling what you can and letting go what you can't, but it really comes down to shifting to just being. I'm just going to go sidebar here, because what it also inspired when you were saying this stuff is, I mean, personally, the things that I have going on, like I've got the racing, I've got the athletics pursuit. I'm passionate about art. I do motivational speaking and business workshops and coaching, and I have all of these different directions. And we talk about, you know, balance and, you know, divine masculine, feminine energies, duality, and coming together. Like, for example, after Rio Paralympics, I didn't get the results I wanted. So what brought me peace was on the plane ride home, I drew a map in my notebook of the next, or not a map, I drew a calendar to map out the next 4 years of what I wanted my competitions and training and everything to look like.
Wow.
And it was, yeah, it's crazy. It's intense. But like that brought me peace because it gave me a sense of direction. It was like, I knew what my North Star was, which was going to the next Paralympic Games in Tokyo. Yeah. And how do I kind of get there? And I mean, I didn't really go back to it very much, but it was setting the intention. Mm-hmm. And there's that part of me that, you know, I do think I'm great at, in terms of logistics and thinking of all of the different things that need to be done. But my learning has also been, you know, okay, when have I done enough? And when do I take my foot off the pedal and just be just glad I don't need to be pumping the gas? And then with life now, with a 2.5-year-old son that I have half time, like life is just crazy busy. It's beautiful. He's the most important thing in my world, and life changes and life shifts. I qualified for the Tokyo Paralympics. I was ranked in the top 10 in the world. I wasn't selected to go by Team Canada. So, you know, talking about letting go and lessons, I let go of that very quickly, considering I just poured, you know, another 4 or 5 years overcoming an injury, getting back into the top 10 rankings, believing that I could come back from tearing my shoulder and do these things and achieve these things, achieving personal bests, you know, into my mid to late 30s. Yeah. Having to let it go. And it didn't matter that I drew that calendar out, and there was absolutely no regrets about what I did. I was doing everything what I was supposed to, and I was doing everything that I felt was best in each moment. And what feels best in this moment right now is being a present father as much as possible for my son. So even though there's all of these other things I want to do, and you know, Paralympics are this summer, and I've got my baseline qualifications, I have a ranking in the top 10 of the world, I'm not on the national team and not funded, but I'm just so much more relaxed from it all without the chip on my shoulder. And a chip on your shoulder can give you motivation and passion and drive at times, but it can get to a point where it's exhausting as well. But it's just shifting my energy and focus to just being and just allowing and going more with the flow because I have to. And not stressing because I didn't do training here, or, you know, launching the coaching business here recently. And my aspirations are always huge. If there's something that I want to do, I want to do the best that I can at it. I have big aspirations and goals always. I've been working on a graphic novel for over a decade that is like a part of my true North Star purpose calling. And a lot of these things you can feel as I'm talking about them. It's a lot. There's a lot to it that can feel heavy. And taking these backpacks, these suitcases, this luggage off the shoulders, setting them down and just letting them be, knowing and trusting the intention is set. I'll get to the destination. I'll pick up those bags when it's time to pick up each bag and go. The most important thing, like I said, right now is being here for my son, and in the process of having, you know, a little 2.5-year-old half the time and trying to train and what's missed, I've had to focus on quality sessions over the amount of training that I would normally do. I've had a personal best this year. And this isn't to toot my own horn. It's just like, it's proof to myself that I'm sharing with you and others that it's like, when you just follow soul alignment and flow and take off pressure of what's supposed to happen or what your ego mind is trying to force into expectations of what needs to be to have that thing or do that thing and just be able to be, the joy really is what comes from the journey and in each moment. you know, win or lose the big races. I always say win or lose, it doesn't matter. It's always on to the next. Win the Boston Marathon or not make it to a finals in a Paralympics game. I'll remember them both, but I don't think about them. I think about what's that race that I actually have now in 2024 in 3 weeks.
Wow.
That's what's next, you know, and remembering those things and those lessons is part of it, but just coming back to presence and alignment with self and going with flow and ease conserves your energy to be able to direct things more. And when the intentions are set, when you have those intentions set, then it's a little easier. You're not rowing upstream anymore. You're letting the water guide you, it take you. And so there's an element of surrender that's been a big part of my life journey that I've had to embrace as well. When everything is said and done, you know, knowing when you need to fight, knowing when you need to put in more effort, more energy, work hard, be persistent, not give up, do more, and when to be able to let go and just mm-hmm. be present and be with yourself and flow and soul.
Wow. It's interesting because you said you're sharing all of the things that you're passionate about, and you said, you know, it could seem like a lot, it could seem heavy, but the energy that I felt from that was that it was that you had such a powerful passion for all of those things that you were sharing, and they don't all have to be done by next week, mm-hmm. right? You know, you being a father, there's no deadline, you're in an experience. And I think that's something that has allowed me to lighten my load a little bit, is when I would look at something and say, this is just the experience that I'm going through, right? Like everything is an experience. And so whether it is that you're, you know, you have deadlines, or that you've got this book that you want to get accomplished and you want to publish, or what, you know, you're traveling for the next race, being kind to yourself that it's an experience and enjoying the experience, that you don't miss out on it because you're looking for the accomplishment to be achieved, right? And the one thing I wanted to ask you too, with Henrik, with your 2.5-year-old beautiful mini Josh. So cute.
Yeah.
Tell me, you know, when I'm hearing you sharing all of this stuff, a lot of it seems like it's a lot of wisdom from him. So what is something that you have learned through him that you couldn't possibly have even learned through being an Olympian athlete or a successful artist or a public speaker or world traveler? Like, what are some of the things you'd like to share, that the wisdom of Henrik?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, the most obvious is just, you know, it's just the love and what's important, in life. I would say the two biggest things, one is being present, you know, kids force you to be present, like, and be in that moment. That's how they operate. They're looking at what's in front of them. What do they do next? What's giving them joy? And with that presence and teaching you to be present and also patient, because you got all these things to do and you're on your own at home, and, you know, it could be up at 6 a.m. or, like, the other day I was up at 5:45 to, some days it's 8 or whatever, but the other day I got up at 5:45. I'm like, okay, I missed out meditating. I've got to get up earlier. I'm going to do some emails in bed because it's 2.5 is busy. Go, go, go. And it could be 9 o'clock at night before it goes down, depending on how the energy goes, is having to throw some of that routine out the schedule and go with the flow. And what does he do? He wakes up at like 5:48, 3 minutes, like, after, of course, that day, right? So, you know, it just teaches you to, okay, let go.
The teacher present. Always shows up when the student's ready.
That's right. So the being present thing is huge. And then with that, when I, you know, I talked about all of the doing, all the things that I have to do, and being so great at logistically knowing, all right, in order to, I mean, most simply win that race, the training, the types, where I need to be, all of this stuff, right? But then when being able to let go, so with him, obviously, I mean, so much has to go by the wayside. But instead of letting that energy be heavy and let it go and focus what I can and do what I can, and that being enough, I am enough. What I have done is enough. This is enough. He showed me, like, I've gotten personal bests since he's been born. I've had top five results at major marathons since he's been born. I mean, I'm probably doing at times, depending on the time of the year, like maybe 50, 60% to 80% of the training load that I would normally be doing, 80, 85 at best. And it's just because of the energy shift I've had to, that's where the belief component has had to come in huge, that, okay, I'm focusing on what I need to do and what I need to do. Like, what am I picking and choosing that has to go by the wayside? And perhaps the energy wasted on, I got to do this and run and go and do this, and I got to go and get this done to be able to be better here.
Yeah.
That energy expended there to just being present, I mean, it kind of balances out in a lot of ways in the end, in terms of where that energy is going, because I've just, you know, I've had a lot much more acceptance and surrender.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, as you say that, you know, there's, I'm going to like just botch the saying, but something around, you need to slow down to move fast or something.
Right.
Yeah. Slow down to go faster. I have no idea.
It's slow down to speed up or something. Yeah.
Something in our hustle mentality, which I'm so, now that I live in Mexico, I don't know how to hustle. I walk slower. You can't catch me speed walking anymore. I used to speed walk though. But you know, you learn as you grow. And so it's interesting, a couple of things that you said, but sometimes you have to make sure that you're not missing the joy because you're so forward thinking or so forward looking. And that's one thing that I've noticed too for myself, is that, is it really worth, I mean, it's worth it to have accomplishments and it's worth it to have goals and to achieve them and to feel this sense of accomplishment is lovely, but not at the paying of the price of joy. And so that's something for me, even looking back at my, you know, building my business over the last 9 years, working in health and wellness, is I love what it is. And, but when I look at, how I was operating in it, I've really shifted how I show up for myself in that, is that you can still accomplish, but at what price are you paying where you're giving up joy for hustle or, you know, and again, you mentioned it. And so I do believe that there is a discipline that is needed. There are times that we need to get stuff done in order to move to the next step or to create, you know, to close the gaps on certain things. But there also, I really believe that now is so important for us, as you'd mentioned, you know, to take care of our vessel. And it's not just what we eat. You know, it's one thing I say is like, what's what we eat, what we think, what we drink. Right? Like, are we hydrating? What are we drinking? You know, what are we thinking? You could be the healthiest nutritional, you know, vessel of goodness and every vitamin and nutrient and electrolytes and all the things. But if your thinking is not supporting that, your cells can eavesdrop on your thoughts. Right. And so I would love to know, you know, your thoughts on that too, because I know that you are super healthy. You are the embodiment of an athlete. And I know that that's just your exterior, your interior aligns just as much with that, just because I've known you for the length of time that I've gotten to know you. But I would love to talk about that, you know, like about your thoughts and about limiting beliefs and negative self-talk. Because as a successful athlete, where you are achieving all of those goals, how hard is it for you to not compete against your thoughts? Like what,
constantly. It's a huge part. Yeah, it's a huge part of it. Having to redirect and reframe thoughts. I feel like that is a massive component of having success and believing in yourself and finding confidence. You know, when reality is pointing to something that is different than what you would like to experience or desire, it becomes a huge game. And I think maybe before I dive into that, I'll go back to what you were saying at the start, in the journey and embracing the joy, because like quick story example, Paralympics, the year that I won the Boston Marathon and had the world's fastest time, I was sick during the Paralympic Games when I was in like amazing shape, pushing equal to world records, and the games were like what everybody else was watching. And that was the time that mattered most, I guess, on the outside. But what I had to do and accept was, yeah, that's what everyone else sees, but they don't see the day in, day out. They don't see what really goes in to the journey. So that doesn't define me, you know. And the same with, you know, talking about social media or whatever. Basically just finding this happiness and peace in yourself and the journey and what you're doing in the present moment and being enough that feels satisfying and not having to do it for others, not having to be on the podium for others when you know you're capable of it, but it didn't happen in that moment because of XYZ, for, you know, hustling and the hustle and bustle to show something or prove something or whatever. And we talk about collective energies. I think that's what's something that's happening right now is, like, I think people are hustling even more than ever on one hand, with having all these tools and resources available about how to quote unquote have success. And tools like AI, et cetera. And then on the flip side, people are also learning to let go and just be more in flow and realize that the hustle isn't important as finding that inner joy and peace every single day. But yeah, so much of that really just does come down to, really comes down to the inner peace. Where are you finding your inner peace? And in order to have that inner peace, that really comes down to how are you reacting or responding to the voices that are in your head that are, you know, pushing you to do one thing or another thing or judging you or making you feel guilty about something or putting pressure on you. Sometimes those nudges are healthy and well, but sometimes, you know, those are coming from ego and external need for validation, instead of just going deeper within. So for myself, with the racing analogy, it's very easy and simple that, you know, if I'm feeling like what I've done isn't enough, then I'm not going to have very much success in the race. So having to let go of, okay, what I did for training was enough. This is where I'm at right here, right now. And it will be enough to be able to do my best. And I will do my best despite X, Y, Z. That gives strength. Or on social media, for example, like I had a lot of resistance for a while. Like on one hand, I know that I have value offer to give, but I don't want to be making it all about me or preach you. And again, worrying about judgment and whatnot. And, you know, so I would shy away from that. It's not important. I got to a place where it's like, oh, I don't need to validate my ego anymore. I'm happy on my own in my own little world. But if I'm just happy in my own little world, how am I bringing value to others? We all have some unique gift. We all have some special talent, trait, characteristic. We all have light to give. And I think it's a process of everyone is just learning to uncover that which is hiding their light, which is covering their light, so that we can shine it for others.
It's beautiful because as you're sharing and I'm listening to you, I could see the fact of, like, I believe that as a society we've allowed it to get so noisy. Right. And it's almost like you don't realize how noisy it is because it's kind of like the frog in the petri dish, like the boiling water, it starts to boil very slowly. It doesn't go from cold to boiling enough for the frog to jump out. It's like just gradually enough that the frog doesn't notice. So I feel like, you know, in the last couple of decades with AI, with social media, with all of these different social platforms, we, I think, really got ahead of ourselves. I believe everything, there's a place for everything, right? Because I even, but I also believe that we need to maybe dial it down, dial it back a little bit, and then get back to ourselves, get back to the quiet, get back to, you know, like, what do we want? How do we want to serve? So when you were talking about being on social media and doing lives, or, you know, being able to say, like, do I feel like I need to share something right now that needs to be heard? Okay, yes. Or like, or you had said, you know, is it coming from ego or is it coming from our spirit, our soul?
Mm-hmm. So yes.
I think that comes down to what you had just said is like, where are we finding our inner peace? Mm-hmm. And taking some time, I believe that that's time spent very well spent. That's time well spent rather than, you know, wasted on catching what everyone else is doing to find theirs. It doesn't have to have anything to do with us. Mm-hmm. Seeing the options is awesome. You know, like we have so many beautiful options from silent meditation to Kundalini to breath work. I love all of those things, you know, but I don't need all of those things in order to find that inner peace. It could just literally be walking and staring at a flower or
yes,
looking at the birds and listening to them sing and reminding me like, what's my song? It doesn't yes, have to be another, you know, I love that there's a business for everything and you can sign up for anything. We're in a sign up to anything phase. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just comes to, you know, comes walking in the forest and then mm-hmm, really taking some time to like, what are you actually saying to yourself? And mm-hmm, so I really believe that exactly, now is a really great time to quiet the noise. The noise is always going to be there, but we control the volume. And that's mm-hmm, something where we may not realize like we do have an opportunity to control that. I don't have to be on social media scrolling to find the answers of anything. I find more answers when I'm not on social media.
Yes.
Right? So there's a give and take.
Well, yeah, we live in a universe of contrast, and we can see it's not very difficult to see the contrast and the polarity that's happening on our planet right now. Mm-hmm. I would say for the last almost decade, the division, and you know, with computers and the algorithms and what you're being fed, opinions and division are becoming even more polarized. And like you said, the hustle and bustle and AI and, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and the rat race, as opposed to the self-awareness and awakening. And it's always deeper level of awakenings as well. Yeah. And, you know, terms like woke and the Matrix are so buzzword right now. But if we can if we can take off that association, but I truly have never felt so much resonance than I do right now with the Matrix as I've aligned higher with self and soul and just observing this 3D experience and witnessing and watching more and more people, like more than ever, with all of these tools being caught up in it. And like you said, it comes down to a choice. Mm-hmm. We can have success with the help of tools and AI and social and be able to do all we can do and scroll on, like you said, scrolling for answers and their gifts too. Like yes, I wouldn't have had to have had the growth that I've had in the last, especially year or two, without all of the information that is available.
Yep.
But also, when is it enough? And also obviously, there's looking for spiritual growth online, and then there's just looking for superficial, materialistic, you know, things to soothe the ego as well. Yeah. But even if you're on this journey, like I myself, like I gotta, you know, always remind myself. I mean, I want to disconnect just for a weekend, and it's so hard now to be able to find a time or space in nature. And it's a choice. It's a decision. It's possible, but we just have to do it. We have to just be able to disconnect. And like you said, just go and be one with nature and just breathe. And we don't realize, or we're beginning to remember more and more. And that's where tools like this are so useful and positive to help remind people to also then, after listening to this, go out and disconnect and just listen to the breeze in the trees, listen to the birds.
Yeah.
By water, go to the water and just be for a while. We're given the tools within us to regulate and find inner peace. And so much of the time, it's not about searching. Yeah. It's just about, it's about not searching. It's just about being, because it's already within.
Well, if you think about our ancestors didn't have to scroll to find the answers. There was no scrolling. Right. Yeah. And so you think of how connected they were connected through story. They were connected through, you know, the fire and the stories and the elements. And so I believe that we've come again, like so far ahead, which is really great. it's actually probably even more of a challenge for us in this lifetime, this timeline, to get back to that, because the noise is so loud, right? Yeah. And so getting back to nature and getting back to the expectation of social media, and again, like all of our communication with everyone. How I was thinking about this yesterday. I was chatting, it was a couple of days ago, it was my birthday, but yesterday, outside of the birthday, happy birthdays, I was on I think 6 or 7 different conversations. I thought, how much time, and I love everyone, like, don't get me wrong, I loved every conversation, was fabulous, but I was like, oh my gosh, I need to put an alarm on my phone to go check messages every 4 hours and allow myself 15 minutes to 20 minutes to enjoy those beautiful friendships that I have and connections I have, but in that, also that same breath, not always be attached like an umbilical cord, because I do have things that I want to achieve. And that also comes with reading books. That's another achievement I want. Like, I've got 2 amazing books that I'm reading. And am I giving myself the time to be in the backyard, on the grass with the dogs, in the sun, you know, not on my phone? And, you know, so there is a balance. And like you had mentioned earlier, the masculine feminine is like being able to honor and understand when you need both. Right. And then when is the creation, like, when are you in your feminine energy for creation? And when does the discipline have to come in the masculine energy? And then we both, you know, both genders have both, like, or whatever you want to call, you know, masculine, feminine. I have to be very
No, but it's just, it's all about balance, you know, no matter. Yeah. Finding that balance.
Yeah. So I know we've been on for, I have no idea, but it's just been amazing. And you know, in closing, I was like, okay, should I ask, you know, what's your favorite quote, or is there something you want to share? But I've been called to ask you something. I feel like I would love to know you, Josh, what would be advice that you would love to give your son for him as a guiding light for his, like, to remind him when moving through, because you've succeeded at so many things and you're still early in the game. So what would be some advice that you would love to just, like, channel to him?
Oh,
for all
goodness.
Of your experiences. You on the spot. Just putting
You know what? And one thing I'm not very good at is summarizing or bringing something to some kind of succinct point. I'd better off be giving him a book than just giving him one line. It'll be easier for me to write a book than give him one line. But you know, I think the biggest thing, just, it always just comes down to, it comes to self-love, you know. You're perfect. You're absolutely perfect the way that you are. No matter what you do, you are absolutely perfect in your soul. And this is just an experience, and just, follow your heart and follow your soul, and there is nothing can ever be wrong or go wrong. And
wow, well, that's pretty fabulous for not knowing what to say. Oh my gosh, I felt that with all of my heart and all of my soul. So I'm just so grateful to spend time with you. We haven't connected for a while
too.
And so many more conversations offline that we'll be having in the next little while to catch up. So I'm just so grateful that you took time today. It's such a pleasure to hear you and feel you and just hold space for your amazing life that you've created and continue to create. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. I'm so happy that you're doing this, and I'm looking forward to listening to the many more episodes ahead.
Thank you. Chat soon. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll have the show notes with all your info. Anything that you want to learn about Josh Cassidy, we will have in the show notes for you to connect with him and follow him every step of the way moving forward. Thank you. Hey friends, thank you again for following and tuning in to the Lucy Smiles Living Room podcast. It really does truly support my mission to help inspire you through our beautiful guests that I also want to thank, who have come on to share their beautiful stories of transformation. If you want to connect with me privately, you can actually go right to my website, lucysmiles.com. Feel free to send to me a personal email. You can also catch my newsletter by subscribing, which also includes my weekly intuitive messages. If you're on social media, you can follow me with my handle, I am Lucy Smiles. And if this was inspiring to you and something help support you on whatever the journey is that you are going through. Please feel free to review, write a comment, and most importantly, if you can subscribe and share this episode and all our other episodes, that would be amazing. My dream and my mission is to truly help you to follow the magic that ignites your inner essence. And so until next time, we will catch you soon. I hope to catch you on the next episode.